So let's talk about some of the least likely events, one of which I've hardly heard about, this methane burp. I mean, I've got two boys, 12 and 14, so I'm a little familiar with methane, yeah, but not in that delivery system. What do you mean by that?
Well, this list we're going to go through now is what I call unlikely, highly disruptive, and almost unstoppable events. I mean, it's one of those things where you're saying, it's an oh, you know what, but there's nothing you can do about it. Methane burp, we know for a fact that there are methane hydrates, which are basically compressed methane gas all over the deep areas of the ocean around the world. Lots of methane there, by the way. In fact, it's considered by some as a fuel source. If we go down and bring the methane up in controlled processes, you can burn it. It's a very good gaseous fuel. Okay, but here's the dilemma. If it comes up as a burp, that is, if something heats that ice up at the bottom of the ocean so that it, in fact, expands rapidly, it can move in huge volumes into the atmosphere, and methane is 20 times better greenhouse gas than CO2. So we have a potential sitting at the ocean's bottoms. Now, I understand you're going to have somebody come talk about volcanoes at the bottom of the sea.
Well, we've talked about this a little bit, yeah.
Okay, you've done that. Well, there's your heat. There's your heat source. And so it is literally, if it happens, you can't go and say, oh, let's capture all of that. I mean, it's gone. It's a done deal. All of a sudden, you have that in the atmosphere. The other piece that goes with that, by the way, is the Siberian frozen tundra is thawing out right now for the first time in just about recorded history. I mean, if you look back in Russian history, they don't have any record of this. And one of the things that's coming along with the thawing is release of methane. So this methane risk for the greenhouse effect is a little scary because it could trigger a runaway greenhouse effect. And that could be as much as another 5 to 10 degrees average up, which would make a phenomenal difference in the way this planet runs.
Well, doesn't that bring us back to this more of these super hurricanes then? If the Gulf waters are already the kind of perfect breeding ground for strong Category 3, 4, and 5 hurricanes, then what happens when the warm waters around the equator get that much hotter?
See, there you go, thinking in systems again, Ian. That's exactly it's a feedback loop, and it fits all the other things. The other thing we know, by the way, is that also that even in the tropics, there's an upper range of temperature that the tropical forests can handle before they start functioning substantially less effectively in absorbing carbon dioxide. So there are these nasty components here that we need to think about in order to say, are we going to be casual about this global warming thing? Are we going to get real serious about handling it?
Well, okay, so let's play that a little bit more then, because we're talking about glaciers.
Yep.
We're talking about everything, then, if it's affected by global warming, we'll see more calving of giant glaciers.
Yep.
We'll see a rise in the sea level.
Yep.
Right? So that will turn what are already coastal communities like New Orleans will make it even more perilous for them to remain under sea level when sea level gets higher, and they don't.
Yeah, add another 10 feet to sea level and see what you get in New Orleans.
Okay, well, then what are the likelihoods of something like that happening, and how would American business respond to it? 10 feet rise in sea level, what is that going to do to offshore drilling? Where would we get our energy then? Would that be the end of petroleum?
No, because offshore drilling, it's a floating device. It won't make any difference for offshore.
Okay.
You just put another 10 feet of pipe on it. What the problem is something you can't lift. Miami Beach, Savannah,
right.
New Orleans, Galveston, New York City. What is an extra 10 or 15 feet do for New York City, for Boston? You know, it really does change the coastline. Bangladesh, I mean, you're taking out living space for millions of people just like that. We have islands that just go under on that.
How much warning would we have?
Well, there's two scenarios, see? So one scenario is it's going to take all century for the melt. What we know is the ocean has been absorbing a lot of the heat. It also will take a long time to release it, so let's stop the CO2 and the oceans will cool off in the next couple of years. It'll probably be a couple of decades for that. So, and by the way, there is one important thing to say here. The glacial melt actually started before we had substantial added CO2. So something else had started the glaciers melting. You know, people say, oh, it's all about CO2 and about global warming. Well, global warming, if you look at the glacier melt, started before the CO2 concentrations went up. But, you know, one of the scenarios that is very interesting, it has to do with the glaciers sitting on the Antarctic continent, you know, in the North Pole, it's floating in the water. So if it melts,
right,
it makes a little bit of change. But if you get enough water lubricant underneath those, you could theoretically have large chunks of the glaciers sliding off into the oceans, and that's like you getting into a bathtub. The water level goes up fast. So that's one of the worst-case scenarios that, again, if it happens, you can't go down and say, stop.
Right.
You know, it's going to slide into the ocean.
We don't have any technology prepared to hold them together, too, right? I mean, we're not working on giant Antarctic Band-Aids or staples.
The scale is so phenomenal. If you think about this, it's the size of the Connecticut kinds of chunks of ice. You know, that just dwarfs anything humans can think about.
Yeah, it does. And so what else do we see around the world that would give us a model of that kind of disaster? Have we ever seen anything like that?
Oh, I suppose what happened to the Netherlands back in, I think it was the 50s, when they had the North Sea come crashing over their dikes and flooding a substantial portion of their country and killing a lot of their countrymen. You know, that they re-engineered their dikes. But they're very much at risk again. If the water goes up, if it goes up, you know, a meter or 2 meters, that's just a huge amount of water that they'll have to deal with.